We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The Celtics Heat series is getting good. It looked like this series going to be over rather quickly when Miami did take a 3-0 lead. But Boston has started to shift momentum back into their favor as they've taken the last 2 games, and we have a crucial game 6 coming up tomorrow night in the association. Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in a man that was drafted by the Boston Celtics, played there from 1996 to 2003 in his first chapter in Boston, also won an NBA championship with the Miami Heat, and that, of course, is Antoine Walker. Antoine, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. So these last 2 games, what have you seen from the Boston Celtics?
Obviously, it's starting to be more aggressive. I think, offensively, if you look at it, different guys are being more aggressive, taking shots when they're available, not just relying on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to have huge nights. And I think that's key if they want to win this series. The Miami Heat are too good and coached too well defensively, and they're not going to just let Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown beat them. So other guys have to stay aggressive and take opportunities when they come.
Has momentum shifted yet? Like, do you feel confident about the Boston Celtics winning these next 2 games, or is it more so, let's see what happens in game 6 first before we talk about momentum shifting back to Boston?
I think the momentum has shifted. I think the Celtics are a much more confident group now. Obviously, they got to go on the road and get it done, but I think they're a much more confident group going into this game, and knowing that if they can get this win and get to a game 7, it really changes the complexion of the series, and obviously the momentum completely shifts. So I just think that this group, the core group of the Celtics, if you just watch them over the last couple of years, they've been in so many meaningful games. They've made so many deep runs in playoffs. They're going to have an opportunity to make history here and have an opportunity to get back in the series and tie it up 3-3. I just believe that. I think just that core group, the Jaylen Browns and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart, these guys have been together, now for the last couple of years. They've made huge runs.
Why are they such a slow-starting team? Because we've seen that throughout this postseason and going back to previous years. It's almost as if this team thrives on putting themselves in as tough as a position as possible and then fighting their way back out of it and prevailing.
I don't think it's no one thing you can really point at. I think it's more or less probably a sense of urgency. These guys have been together now for the last couple of years. Complacency a little bit, and then and they obviously play well with their back against the wall. But this is tough. You get in Miami Heat a lot of life, and they get Miami Heat have a home game. They can go. They can take care of business. So they'll be tested. And what's scary about this group is that I don't know if the Celtics don't come back and win this series. You don't know if they're going to keep this group together. They may not feel like this is the group that can get it done. So I think some pressure on the Celtics a little bit, and I think they're going to respond.
Antoine Walker here with us. I like that you brought up the future because I feel like for the last few years, so many people have been trying to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That started to pop up once again in this series. I know Jaylen Brown has a year left on the contract, eligible for an extension, got all second NBA team, so he get more money in Boston. Just what advice would you give to Jaylen Brown about navigating the future where people wonder, does he want to stay in Boston? Does he want to re-sign or maybe go somewhere else?
I think they've built something. I think one thing that I would tell him is if I was in the front office of the Boston Celtics, is, hey, you guys are building something special here. And if they do come up short, hey, you got a chance to play. You and Jason have a chance to be together for another 4 or 5 years and compete at the highest level. And you don't get that everywhere. And you're going to get a huge payday. You couldn't ask for anything more as an NBA player. So I think that's something that I would be looking at if I was him.
I was surprised last night, Antoine Walker, by the lack of effort by the Miami Heat. It seemed like they went into that game, and the moment they sensed a little trouble, they were okay with packing things up and getting ready for game 6.
It happens sometimes. Sometimes teams like to close it out on their home floor and celebrate with your home fans, and typically your role players play better at home. So sometimes that happens too, because that's what you hope for, the role players to struggle on the road. So I think that could be something they feel like they can close it out in Miami. But you're playing against a team, the Boston Celtics, who's been in this group. I just feel like it's been in so many meaningful games, and they have the talent to go on the road and get a win. So I hope the Heat didn't put themselves in a bad position now and put yourself in a must. Well, now you're putting yourself in a must-win game six. It's a tough thing to put on your mind, but it looked like that's what they were trying to do.
Antoine Walker, it's so tough to evaluate Joe Mazzulla. And you know the guys in the locker room, they really liked Ime Udoka. Then whatever happened, he's no longer the coach. Mazzulla gets thrown right into the fire. It's been up and down, just the conversation about Joe Mazzulla. Using your player instincts and your kind of perspective and view on it, how do you kind of evaluate the job that Joe Mazzulla's done with the Boston Celtics?
I think he's done a terrific job. I think any time you take over a situation the way he did with the commotion and chaos with Udoka, and to still be able to have your team make deep runs in the playoffs, be in the position to hopefully win another NBA championship, you got to give him a lot of credit. That's tough to do. I think he'll get better and better as a head coach. I'm pretty sure the players have seen him grow as a head coach. He's probably, you know, much more outgoing, much more, you know, speaking, can, you know, do certain things as a coach that he probably didn't do in the beginning, so that he was learning on the fly. So I'm pretty sure he's even grown as a coach. But I think he's perfect for him because the players play hard for him. And if you watch the Celtics throughout the season, I thought their season was terrific this year. I thought they improved under him. So I think he's only going to get better and better. And he has to go against – you're going against a great coach. Hey, listen, Eric Spoelstra is a great coach down there. You're going against a coach that's well-versed, has been a part of many championship teams, and it's tough to beat him. So this is a good stepping stone for Udoka to see if he can it's a good stepping stone for coach to see if he can be able to get past – you know, get past this tough Miami Heat team. This will build a lot of confidence for him just as a coach.
For you, when you were in Miami, Eric Spoelstra was an unknown to us, but he was an assistant on those teams that you played for. What stood out to you when you look back at a young Eric Spoelstra?
He was unbelievable. A lot of people don't know this. He did a lot of the chalkboard talk. He did the scouting reports. He was really vocal in our championship run. He was a great individual guy. I thought, you know, he wasn't the coach that really worked me out. Because usually you get kind of adjusted to a certain coach, a certain situation. But he worked with D-Wade daily. I think he's a big part of D-Wade's success and being a great pro and working with him. But just the chalkboard talk and running practice and running meetings, Eric Spoelstra did that back then. Pat Riley put a lot of responsibility on him. And I think that's why he's a great coach today. It's a big part of it.
How do you look back playing for Pat Riley?
Loved it. A demanding coach that demands the best out of you, holds you accountable, but wants to win. He wants to win. He's going to work you hard. He's going to force you to get your best effort. And that's one thing you want as a player. He's going to bring the best out of you and make you work really, really hard.
When you were part of that team, Antoine Walker, you guys won an NBA championship. You guys were down two games in the NBA Finals right out of the gate to the Dallas Mavericks. Just what was the mentality like in that locker room, and how did you guys put together those four straight wins to go capture that NBA championship?
To be honest with you, it was really Pat. With the confidence instilled in us, and obviously we wanted to get back home, and once we got back home and was able to tie the series up, I remember the last game when we went to Dallas, because it was and he told us to only bring one suit. I think we would have had two games, because I think game six and seven would have been in Dallas, because it went the format was totally different.
It was different, yeah.
3-2. And I remember him telling us nobody can get on the plane. You only bring one suit. He didn't want to see the tons of luggage. He didn't want to see nothing. He wanted one suit. And I just know that always stuck in my head and that was just a confidence booster that, hey, we're going out and take care of business. We're going to get things done. In game six, it will not be a game seven. And guys responded, and we was able to close it out in the six.
When a coach of that caliber, with what he's done in the league, tells you to only pack one suit, there had to just be a vibe in that locker room, right? All right, this thing is over, if that's how Pat Riley's feeling, right?
Oh, without question. And our confidence had grew, even though we were down 0-2, but we started to play better at home. And got ourselves back in the series and obviously took control of the series. And that mentality to go on a roll like that, we felt good. So, but that was we had a slogan that says 15 strong. And I always credit Pat Riley for coming up with that. And we kind of built our team and our playoff run after that. And that was so enjoyable and fun when we played.
What do you look for in this game six? When you're looking at it for both sides, what do you think the biggest key is when we look at this game six coming up between Boston and Miami?
Honestly, man, it's about the stars now. This is the reason why you pay guys $30, $40 million. I want to see the stars step up on both teams. And these guys have got to be the one to have a big game now. You know, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they got to have big games. You know, Jimmy Butler, you're going to need one of those performances from Jimmy. I don't care about being home and away. When it gets to this point, it gets to a game six and seven, you want the stars, the guys that you're paying max money to, the guys that are supposed to be your franchise guys. This is the games that you pay those guys for to have huge ones.
It feels like whoever, you know, obviously if Miami wins game six, they win the series, they go off to the NBA Finals. But it seems like this series is going to be decided coming up tomorrow night. Because if Boston goes back to TD Garden for a game seven, I'm not going to pick against the Boston Celtics, especially what they just did in the last round in a game seven.
You know what? This is, like I said, I'm repeating again, this is about the stars. And if you're looking at the just complete rosters from top to bottom, the Celtics should be able to go into Miami and get a win. And it's not taking anything away from the Miami Heat, who's a well-coached team. But when you really think about the star power and both of these rosters, the Boston Celtics should be able to go on the road and get a win in Miami and force a game seven. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it's going seven games. I can't call a winner right now, but I do believe Boston goes in there and gets a game and we get a game seven.
That would be awesome, especially where this series looked like it was heading just a few games ago. Wrap it up with Antoine Walker. I want to get to the team that did sweep, and that was the Denver Nuggets over the Los Angeles Lakers. Some people are saying this Denver team is boring. I don't see it with Nikola Jokic being the best player in the league and how fun it is to watch Jamal Murray be an assassin in this postseason. Do you think Denver is a boring team? And what do you say to people if you disagree with that believe the Nuggets are boring?
I don't think they're boring. I think they got one of the best skilled big men that we've ever seen in the game, and Jokic, who can shoot, pass, and do everything on the court as a big man. It's not fancy. Sometimes it's really basic. They don't have the most athletic guys, but they play good as a unit. The Denver Nuggets, they're well coached, and they can play any style. They can play small ball. They can play big. And that's what a lot of people don't know. They can play any style. They got that much versatility on their roster. And they're deep. They're probably the deepest team left in the playoffs right now. They can play 10, 11 guys easily and get production. Every team can't do that, especially this stage of the season.
And he's so consistent, Nikola Jokic. I never really see him ever have a bad game. If you were a part of a team that was going up against him, it's the multi-million dollar question right now in the sport, especially the last 3 years. How the heck do you try to even attempt to slow this guy down?
Well, he's a triple threat guy. So what you want to do is, you have to decide what you want to do. Do you want this guy to be a scorer or a pass? He does all those things so well. If it was me, I'd make him score because he loves to pass. He's a great passer. He obviously is a good rebounder. I'll see if he can get 50. I'll play him single coverage and see if he can get 50. I would not allow him to get these other guys involved. That's just something that I wouldn't do. I would let him see if he wants to, because he's such an unselfish player. I want to see if he can go get 50. And I'm not saying he's not capable of it, but I want to see if he can go get, 35, 40 consistently for four games. And that's the way I would just defend him. I would not let him have his cake and eat it too. I'm not going to let him score and also make others better. You have to take one of those things away. And I would take away his passing ability and make him a complete scorer, because I think he's so unselfish. I don't think that's something that he wants to do. So I'm going to take all those other things away and make him a one-on-one player and give him opportunities to see if he can go get 45, 50 points a night.
Antoine Walker, get into LeBron James. He's a torn tendon in his foot. We'll see if he's going to need surgery. That was reported the other day by Shams Charania. One day LeBron's talking about retirement. The next day, Dave McMenamin has a report that it looks like LeBron's going to come back and finish out that final year of the contract of the Los Angeles Lakers. I never bought the retirement talk from LeBron after that game. I get it. You're 38. You're in the moment of a loss, and you probably don't want to talk about your future. Do you fully expect LeBron to be back with the Lakers next season?
I don't know, man. You know, it's hard to get your body. Now he has another injury to deal with. It's hard to, at that age, to get your body back ready to play at the level that he likes to play at. We know he does a terrific job of taking care of his body, so it probably wouldn't be as hard for him as other players. But I think, you know, if I'm LeBron, I'm like, listen, if I got a legitimate chance and I believe I can win an NBA championship and the roster fits that, because I think the Lakers have to do a little tweaking to their roster. So if the roster fits that, then I will come back. If not, unless I just not ready to get the game up, I would think about retiring because obviously we know LeBron wants to play for championships. That's what he's all about. But what he's going to have to do to get his body prepared and to gear up to for another season is going to be very difficult. And I don't know if 38 minutes a night is where you want LeBron playing at. Is where can he play and be efficient at that at this age and his career? We know he's done a terrific job at it, but it can become a grueling season. Think about how they got in the playoffs. They fight for play-in positions, those things. So I think it's a lot of things LeBron got to think about. Obviously, health is one, and then if they can win. I don't think he wants to come back to be an A seed again.
Last thing I'll ask you, Antoine Walker, and really appreciate you joining us today. Great perspective. What advice would you give to Ja Morant? Because that's been a big topic of conversation the last few weeks, and then another video did surface, and for now he's suspended with the Memphis Grizzlies.
You know, I kind of take it personal for me on the personal side. I had a personal thing off the court happen to me where I got a home invasion and got robbed at my home and really brought, you know, that kind of fear in my, and, you know, obviously living in Chicago and you're at home and, you know, you got guys robbing you. So you start to have bad thoughts and certain things. I just think with Ja, he has to realize that, hey, you're a basketball player, you're an NBA player, you make a lot of money, and you can't do everything that everybody else can do. With social media now, with camera phones and all the things that's going on, you have to put yourself in better position. I mean, he has a child. You got an organization that wants to put this whole franchise on your back, and you have an opportunity to do that. It's just too many good things that are in front of you to continually let these negative things bog in his life. And I just wish he would understand that and take that into consideration. Maybe, you know, get completely off social media. Maybe that's not a place where you need to be at. If you know you may make a mistake or something like that. It's just so many things that you want to talk to him about because there's so many things he can really avoid and just be a great basketball player and really be a Hall of Fame player. He's got that big of a skill set and that big of an upside that he could be in the Hall of Fame one day. But I hope he don't throw his career down the drain. Continually doing senseless things that are not good for him. And he's a role model for a lot of kids, man. A lot of people look up to him, want to be like him. And, you know, you send a bad precedent with a lot of these things, especially with the gun talk and all that stuff. I hate to see that. And that really upsets me because he's such a great athlete and such a great talent. So hopefully he gets it. And hopefully he gets around the right people that can put positive things going on in his life.
Really do appreciate the insight and the perspective. He, of course, is Antoine Walker. Always loved catching up with you and chatting with you on the show. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
In America, it's estimated that 4% of people in prison are actually innocent.
When I saw them for the very first time, like I knew who my jury was going to be doing trial. To be honest, I knew I lost then.
In 2002, the state of Georgia found Kerry guilty for his alleged involvement in a vicious rape. Only a small percentage of those people have their convictions overturned.
You know, as one great justice said many years ago, we don't find our witnesses from church pews.
What series of events led to Kerry's wrongful conviction? Could this happen to anyone? What finally convinced the courts to overturn his conviction? From Zapier, in partnership with the Georgia Innocence Project, this is the 4%. Listen anywhere you get your podcasts or visit zapier.com/resources/podcasts to learn more.